Hey, Caitlin.
Hey, Evan.
You know, it's a weird thing to think about.
What?
How this might be one of the very last podcasts we ever do at this house.
That would be weird. That would be very weird.
How many times can I do the very last podcast joke?
I don't know. You've done it within like a few different
A
scenarios.
few different
You just really want to
scenarios.
scare people, don't you?
But I think before we get into the main topic of today, which are lessons we've learned from this very first house that we have lived in, and what we might have done differently, what's good and bad, what are the things we love and aren't crazy about in this house. Let's first do a little what's new segment. News, 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 news.
New
So,
news
Caitlin,
is.
what's news with you?
What's news with
Well,
me? I didn't prepare.
what about our new Twitch account?
Okay, yeah.
Brand new Twitch account. Breaking news.
Breaking news. We did a little April Fool's joke, and we are you gonna keep the news background? Okay. We did a little April Fool's joke, and we decided to make the supervisor her own Twitch channel because everybody always wants a catio cam, and so we just decided, let's have a catio
Yeah.
cam.
It
But
was
then
a great April Fool's joke.
it was a great April Fool's joke, but
'Cause
then
like it also delivered something real.
it ended up being so awesome that we're just doing it now semi-regularly. We've done a couple catio streams and a stream where she was just like in her
She
bed in the living room.
has had a much more successful start of her Twitch career than we did. She's gonna
Honestly,
hit part
yeah.
like she's gonna hit like affiliate then partner in no time.
Yeah, she's
She can do
closer to affiliate in a few days than
it.
we were, obviously, by this point. What the heck?
What the heck? Another news, news, news. I'm not sure if you guys have noticed in my videos, but I've kind of been walking around kind of like in poor shape because I threw my back out during our mood ring keyboard painting. All of the painting we did for this, I threw my back out and I'm still recovering like weeks later. And
Yeah.
that concludes news, news, news. Back to you, podcast.
Well, yeah. Yeah, I do feel bad about your back. I feel like it's taken longer than normal.
It's taken. Oh, well, I think that the main problem is it starts feeling better, and then I start pushing myself and doing more and getting back to my regular life, probably before I should, which just regresses it. So I'm gonna try to be responsible.
Yeah. But it is hard because like we have a whole extra thing on our plate, which is house hunting and getting this house ready for
Yeah.
moving and like all these very exciting things. But
And the house hunting trips in the car, long hours, probably aren't
probably
good for
not the
the back
best.
either.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we thought because we already did a podcast about house hunting and some of what we're looking for and our thoughts and the challenges, we thought it would also be fun to do a little podcast about our current house. Because when we asked Patreon what type of house slash moving related content they wanted, we got a ton of input, but there was a theme of questions about our current house. So we thought, like, before we get too far ahead of ourselves,
Yeah.
let's talk about that.
Well, and also I might do a little aside because, I think that we link our Patreon with our main channel a lot, but Patreon is probably one of the best places to support us generally.
Yeah,
So if you want to
including the
support the
podcast.
podcast, the Patreon is the best place for that too. So
Patreon.com/Evan and Caitlin.
I thought I'd just do like the smallest of plugs there because I love Patreon. So I think we can start with what we learned from this very first house that we are in right now.
Yeah.
There's so much. There's so much.
Here's an overall thing I will say. I am so glad that we have been, I mean, we've been very, very lucky that we've been able to be in a house before this next house, like as opposed to an apartment. We moved from our apartment to this house because it was actually, I mean, one reason was because of your job and we needed to move anyway, but also it was cheaper
It was
than our
70.
apartment.
Now, we had to be able to save enough money to
For the
afford the
down
down
payment.
payment.
But after the down payment, it was cheaper than our apartment. And so, even though we were pretty young when we bought the house, I guess compared to the average people these days, I'm so glad that we just kind of like made that jump, even though it was kind of scary, because I feel like having a starter house has taught us a lot about what to look for in our new house now that we are older and we have more specific needs, yeah. You know?
And we've not only saved money from, paying, the monthly rate of living in the apartment that we were living at versus the monthly rate of living here. We were also building equity in the house.
Yeah.
And that let us, it was a good financial decision all the way around.
Yeah. But there's also just so much that we learned about being mm-hmm, homeowners.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And like a lot of these lessons we actually kind of learned and experimented with before we even started the channel. There's so much home DIY and not necessarily like the cute home DIY, like the behind the scenes crawling around in the attic, digging around in the walls DIY.
So much of that was documented on the blog. And I think another thing that I feel so thankful about for this house is we wouldn't literally be here doing this podcast, having this YouTube channel. Really, I don't think that we would if it wasn't for this house.
Yeah, because, I mean, we kind of started DIY with our wedding, but we got a lot more comfortable with doing DIY stuff.
Well, we started, you originated, Evan and Caitlin, when we bought this house.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
the very first blog posts were
about the house.
Yeah. And all of documenting the buying and fixing up of this house. So literally, we would not, the thing I'm most thankful of is we wouldn't be in this wonderful position we're in right now if it wasn't for us deciding to buy the house.
That's true.
You know?
That's true.
And there's so much that went into us. I mean, we bought a house that was probably like about half of what we were pre-approved for, which was another good financial decision, but also it kind of put us in a place where we had to fix up the house. And mm-hmm. because we are fixing up the house, we got comfortable with fixing up houses. And then honestly, like when we are watching HGTV and watching like people on HGTV, we're kind of like that.
Yeah, like we do that on our house.
Very small degree. We've done stuff like that to our house.
So we could make videos doing stuff.
Yeah, and we'll just do it on YouTube.
Yeah.
I mean, that wasn't really the origin story, but that was like one part of the origin story.
It was something we kind of considered.
Yeah.
A little bit.
It was one of the things that went into our heads that, and for some reason, we just didn't think about all of the difficult logistics of it. And we just said, we can do that.
Yeah.
I think we just started.
Yeah, the YouTube channel.
Yeah, the YouTube channel. Yeah.
Yeah. But no, I think this house gave us like a kind of low risk. It was like a low risk experimentation house for us.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Yeah. I mean, well, we moved in. And then we just, like, one of the very first things we did is, like, went into the attic and we started messing around with plumbing?
Well, yeah, because we had leaks. When the inspector inspected this house, there was, like, two active leaks. There were two active leaks. There was, like, some electrical issues. The whole roof needed to be replaced.
That was a whole adventure. I'm not sure if you've ever shared that, like, we couldn't buy this house.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm about to get to that. But yeah, so we had foundation issues. We had two active leaks. We needed an entirely new roof. We had big electrical issues. And there was a bidding war on the house.
Yeah.
And so we were like, we'll take it. Like, we'll offer even more. Pick us. But then we got an inspector to inspect all those things. And then, like, one thing is you can, if you get, like, quotes for how much things are going to be are going to cost to fix, you can like back that out of the price. So we ended up being back under asking price. But yeah, we're like, this is a good idea. But yes, one of the crazy things is because the roof needed to be fully replaced and that was such a big deal, we couldn't get home insurance to cover us until we replace the roof. And you can't get a loan from the bank until you have home insurance. And the seller wanted an extra short 7-day option period. Normally it's like 10 days. And the option period is when like you can pull out of your, you can make an offer, but then pull out any time within the 10-day option period. But we only had 7 days. And so we had to like get the roof replaced. Wait, did we get the roof replaced or did we just get a quote?
I think we got a quote.
Maybe we just got
like
a quote.
It was
But we were
so
getting
much
so
hustling.
Many quotes. The inspector, like so many different people out to give us quotes.
Yeah.
So that we could get insurance, so that we could get a loan, so that we could buy the house.
Well, I think that to a certain degree, another thing that we learned from this house is kind of the confidence to just tackle house projects. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know that's kind of a strange thing, but for me, when I'm learning a new computer program or like a piece of software or anything, I just push all the buttons and I just experiment and I just like, you know, figure things out to a certain degree.
Yeah.
And, you know, with caution, we did that to a certain degree here. I mean, there are certain things that you don't really want to mess with too much. Electrical.
And kind of plumbing. I mean, though we did mess with plumbing. And it bit us in the butt a little bit.
But electrical's the main thing. And we even, like, pushed ourselves a little bit and said, oh, let's try that. And then we learned, no, tiling. Leveling floors.
Oh, yeah, you're jumping from electrical to tiling.
Oh, yeah. So there's just, like, other things about the house and about the homeowning process that we learned that, like...
Yeah, well, I'll use the tiling story. We might have told this before, but we were like, hey, we hired out replacing the old tile and carpet in our house with, like, laminate wood flooring. But... We, in our laundry room, they pulled out the old tile, but we didn't want the laminate wood flooring in there. We want a new tile. We just didn't know what we wanted yet. So when they were done with the floors in the house, we just had like concrete subfloor in our laundry room. And, the rest of the floors they had leveled for the laminate flooring, but the laundry room, just that little nook, they hadn't leveled it. And so we were like, well, that's just such a small room. We'll tile it ourselves. And I think tiling, I think we might've been okay, but leveling the subfloor was so hard. We tried to get like the right, like leveling
the compound. The thin set,
but it was just like.
We either weren't using enough or it wasn't liquidy enough.
It was not self-leveling.
Oh my gosh.
It was chunky and crunchy.
I think that another thing is this house had foundation issues before we bought it.
Yeah.
So like, I'm not even sure like how level the whole house was.
It's not. It's definitely not. That's why like none of our doors.
This house is.
We shouldn't bash it too much. It's lived Maybe someone in will end up buying
and
it.
Loved.
The foundation issues have been fixed.
Yes. Don't worry.
They have been fixed. There's a lifetime warranty. They've been fixed. It's great now. Nothing is noticeably crooked.
Except for the walls.
All and the houses lines. Have somewhat crooked walls.
Yeah, it's a great house. I think that I'm going to kind of blend two of the main topics we want to talk about. One, lessons learned from the house, but I think I'm already going to jump. I'm going to pop open the next topic also and mix them back and forth.
Let's do it.
What would we have done differently with this house if we had known we'd live here for 8 years?
Oh my gosh.
Ooh. But I think that another thing to keep in mind is, you know, when we first bought the house, we didn't know how much money we should put into it. And we did put in a decent amount of money into the floors, into the roof and everything. And like
now some of that we had like backed out of the price.
Yeah, so, but still, it's but like it's we were still like, we didn't just have like a lot of,
funds.
You know, liquid assets to move around. So, you know, if I, you know, was being silly and idealistic and ignoring all costs, we would have, you know, retextured the walls and we would have repainted everything with not chalk paint, you know?
Our
potential buyers of our house. Don't listen to this part.
No.
It's fine.
Our house is painted with the extra flat paint.
So flat.
That it's hard to match.
Maybe some people want that.
Maybe they do. It just makes it hard to match.
Yeah.
But we probably would have retextured the walls just because we prefer like a smoother wall texture. Mm-hmm. We might have... like redone some things in like the master bathroom just because I think we could have utilized the space more efficiently for us. The previous owner, I think, lived here with her two daughters and had it redone in like a way that worked for her, but it wasn't necessarily the best for us.
Guys, there's no door between the master bedroom and the bathroom.
There's no door. We didn't realize till after we bought the house.
We really didn't realize that?
No, we didn't realize. So literally we bought the house. And then we were like, there's no door.
There's no sliding door. There's no pocket door.
We have one bathroom with a door in this house.
Mm-hmm. And thus we shut the whole master area.
Yeah, but then Joob gets in because she knows how to open that door.
Oh, yeah. And that door doesn't close.
And you can't reach it if you're back in the bathroom.
And the door doesn't latch.
No, it doesn't. So Joob gets in.
And she opens the door.
She walks in a few feet and then leaves and just leaves the door open.
She's like, so, this door was closed. That's wrong. That's open, wrong. Open, please.
I open. Yes. I think one interesting thing was when we got the floors done, mm-hmm. and I'm so glad that we got those done like early on because mm-hmm. it's really, mm-hmm. You know, that it's just a more disruptive thing. But we did all the, dining, kitchen, and the hallway, but we mm-hmm. didn't do the bedrooms initially.
No. Yeah.
And then like a few years later, we were like, man, the carpet in the bedrooms, which is still the previous owner's carpet, we're like, it's looking a little rough. Joob has barfed on this several times. like we've been wanting to replace it. Let's just do it. But it was kind of a hassle because the flooring had been discontinued. And so our flooring company had some, but they had to like really struggle to source it from other places. Yeah. And we almost didn't get to do it. So like, luckily that worked. But if it hadn't worked, that would have been a thing that I would have wished we'd just done all at once,
mm-hmm.
you know?
Yeah, but those things are so hard. They're much easier to see in hindsight.
Yeah.
But it's so hard to, like, know in the moment how long you're going to be there. What's weird is, like, when we moved to this house, how long did you think in your head that we were going to be here?
I thought we were going to be here, like, 4 or 5 years.
Me too. I thought that we were going to move for one of our jobs, probably my job.
Yeah, I think I just kind of assumed we would move because of work, because we both moved a lot growing up because of our parents' work.
Yeah. Our parents moved a lot. Like, both sets of our parents moved a lot.
Yeah. And it was, you know, every few-ish years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so it was just like, oh, we'll probably be in this house for a few years and then we'll move for work. That's just what people do, you know? But we've lived here longer than either of us have lived in any other individual place.
Yeah.
Which is weird.
It's weird. I think another thing that I wish I had have done, like, over those eight years we have been here is I wish that every now and then, like once a year, like on the first day of the year, we should like walk the house as if we are like new homebuyers, you know? And like think, what do we want to change? And how can we do that? And, you know, and like, you know, we have the excuse as, you know, people who have a YouTube channel where we DIY stuff, you know, we have redone some things like the shelves that I'm pointing at right over there.
In our closet,
great. Mwah, great. But, like, you know, we should have, like, done that multiple times. And, like, as we're thinking about selling this house, we've started doing, like, little things that we've meant to do for a while. Like, we took down this ugly shelf that I made out of a cabinet side.
Yeah.
Randomly one day, I'm like,
It was the side of an IKEA cabinet.
I'm just going to, like, put up a shelf using the side of an IKEA cabinet.
We don't need the rest of the cabinet. Great. I'll just take this one panel and I'll make a shelf and I'll put it above the door frame where Caitlin can never reach it. And I'll put my lightsaber up there. And that's been there for years. And we just took it down.
So much better with it gone.
Yeah, we just took it down last night. And we were like, huh, we should have done that a really long time ago.
What do you think about my impromptu coat rack?
You know, the coat rack is less offensive to me.
Because it's painted white.
Because it's painted white to match the walls. And it doesn't take up that much visual space. And we use it.
We do use it, yeah.
Even though I don't think we should. Like, I don't know why the coat rack needs to be in the office when we have a coat rack by the entry.
No, but that's so far away. I get cold, then I get hot, then I get cold, then I get hot. No. I need to hang it like a proper boy.
Really, that's your concern.
Yeah.
Okay. I'll tell back to the laundry on sitting on top of the dresser. I'll remind it that Evan's a proper boy.
I'm a proper boy.
And should hang it.
They should hang themselves. No.
Don't demonetize us. On hangers.
Clothing hangers. Laundry.
Anyways.
Oh, man. You just demonetized the whole podcast.
I'm sorry.
The whole channel.
I think it's okay.
I just like saw you walking into that. I didn't know how to like stop you soon enough.
Oh, well, man. There's no hope.
No hope. Okay, so other things that I, you know, less, you know, wish we had have done earlier, wish we had have known if we'd be here for 8 years.
You know, one thing that I wish we would have done, this is kind of tying it into the first question, which is like what we've learned. There's some projects that like I kind of wish we would have done just to have experienced them on this like experiment house.
Oh.
Like we've never done like a nice cabinet painting job. Mm. You know what I mean? And that's one of those things that like you can update places so like in such a big way with just paint. Yeah. You know, but painting cabinets is kind of tricky. Like, do you sand them? Do you degloss them? Do you, you know, there's like all these various methods that everybody swears by.
Yeah. But you also, know? I mean, the part of the problem is you can find one solution for one house that won't work for another house.
That's very true. But at least, like, there would be some experience. Yeah. And there's been several occasions where I was like, man, I really want to paint the kitchen cabinets. Or I really want to paint the bathroom cabinets.
Looking, if we had have known that we were going to be here for 8 years, we should have painted and redone the kitchen some, too.
I think so, too. Because it's, you know, if you've seen it in our videos, it's kind of like an orangey wood, which is never our favorites. I think it'd be so cool to have, like, white on top and, like, a navy on bottom or something. But then it's like... Oh, but you can't have a black countertop with a navy, navy bottoms. So then we gotta like replace the countertop. You know, it becomes like a whole thing.
Yeah,
but, But there are a few things that I wish I had just kind of like dipped my toes into and tried.
Well, I think that there's like a certain fatiguing, like momentum when you move into a house. You're like energized to do a whole bunch, and then it just like fades over time as you just get used to the house and accept it.
Yeah.
You're like, well, that's just how it is.
Yeah, you start playing the mental game of like, do I hate it enough to do that work and risk making it worse? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And for certain things, we were like, I don't hate it that much. So, but there was still a lot that we did and learned. Like, we replaced nearly every single light fixture in this house. You know, we did do some simple paint upgrades, like painting a room, painting the fireplace great.
Light fixtures? Oh. Best bang, like one of the best bangs for the bucks you can hope for.
Light fixtures and I think paint. Now, we were lucky that our house is painted a neutral color.
Yeah.
But paint can make such a big difference. Paint and like light fixtures.
Paint and light fixtures. Mm-hmm. Huge differences.
And flooring, but that's getting expensive.
Yeah. It's interesting, as we look for houses, Caitlin definitely has, like, a favorite flooring.
I do.
And it is not these floors.
No, but it's not too far off.
It's kind of...
It's not that far
off. It's a lot lighter and a lot more uniform.
Take our current floors, lighten them a couple shades.
And make it
slightly more uniform and make it matte, not shiny.
But that's every aspect of it.
Yeah,
changed.
But they're still like wood.
Yeah, that's true.
Well, these are laminate, but it's still the same look. You know, it's not like now my favorite flooring is Spanish terracotta tile.
Oh,
hex.
Mine
only
is
hex.
Terrazzo.
Oh, terrazzo. Oh, yes.
let's
mustard colored shag carpet.
Let's buy a house with concrete floors across the entire house.
Use it all as a workshop.
No, epoxy the whole thing. Just galaxy.
Never
like,
be able to
hollow,
sell it again.
Hollow glitter mica galaxy.
Okay. So here's the thing. There have been many jokes about us like doing resin galaxy floors. Here's the thing. I do have fun like doing crazy resin galaxy rainbow pieces.
Are you about to spill the tea?
Maybe a little bit of tea. But like if I'm thinking about like especially like larger impact items in a house, that's not really what I want. Like I don't really want a kitchen with galaxy floors. It'd be fun to do, but like I don't want that every day. I want like my light honey colored matte, you know, wide plank flooring. That's now my new favorite flooring anytime I see it in a house.
Our aesthetic is like white, black, and honey floors.
Yeah, I mean,
like white walls, like black light fixtures, like stuff like that.
Yeah, it's pretty simple.
It's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Yeah. But
white, black, honey floors.
I don't know. That I'm trying to sum it up. You know, it's not harshly cold modern, not super war, you know, twirly and fancy traditional. I think that our style is
kind of more transitional.
Transitional,
like,
style.
Which is the most generic, because it's just like in between. But we probably err a little bit more on the modern side of transitional.
A little bit more on the modern.
Yeah. Yeah, in an ideal world. And that's kind of like what we've turned this house into, and slightly. Yeah, I think we've done pretty good.
I think that we've done pretty dang good.
For the
money and time that we've put into it.
Mm-hmm.
I like this house.
Yeah. I like it too.
I think that, like, you know, there are some things that are just like unreasonable. Like, there's no way that when we bought our first house, we would have known that we would be starting an entire business in it. And we would need so much more space. I mean,
if we didn't have this business, we wouldn't
need this much space.
Yeah, we wouldn't need to move.
Yeah, yeah. If we didn't have this business, we could just, you know, live very economically here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, we would still have plenty of space.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, one of the things that I've looked at when we're looking at a new place is, like, you know, getting enough space for everything that we need is expensive when you stuff it into, like, a house. You know, a bigger house is just more expensive. We even looked at, like, renting warehouse space.
And it's as an alternative.
As an alternative, or like a supplement or something. Who knows how to mix them. But we're like, okay, if we buy a cheaper house and then rent a warehouse, that makes it just as expensive per month as the bigger, more expensive houses.
Yeah.
It's
that was kind of like a, like, mind moment for me, because I had been struggling, because, like, a lot of things we're looking at online were, like, a little bit on the higher side.
Well, especially coming from this house that, like, is...
Which is very economical.
Very economical and very smart and responsible.
But then when we started looking at the difference of, like, you know, the lower end of the price range that we were looking at and the higher end, and we looked at what that difference would be per year, if you take out, like, the amount that you're paying into principal, because that's, you know, an investment, if you take that out, then it was like...
It's a bad deal.
The difference in those two different price points of house was the same as what we would pay renting a warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Like, year by year, which was crazy.
And then it would have to drive farther.
I don't want to drive, you guys. I don't want to drive anywhere. Well, the thing is, like, the way that we work is very fluid with our life. Like, there's not set hours that we work every day and set hours that we are not working every day.
Yeah.
Most of the day is work, but a lot of it is, like we'll, you know, I don't know. We just, like, intermix it. Like, we'll run an errand in the middle of the day that is not a work thing. Or, like, we'll do a to-do that is not a work thing that we need to be at our house for. Or it'll be, like, late at night and we're like, oh, crap, we really need to, like, do that resin pour tonight if we want to get it curing.
But even in...
We wouldn't want to have to drive to a workshop.
Even it's a very standard type day. Like when we're filming our videos, we'll usually film the intro and then bring it in and Caitlin will edit it to make sure we got it before we... break down the intro setup and move to the first stage of whatever the video is and stuff like that. And I guess
so at any workshop, we would have to have an office.
Would have to have an office. And then that really balloons the scope of the work, you know, the space we need to rent.
And then we'd have to have an office set up there and an office set up here. Because, like, right now it's 9 p.m. right now. Like, we would theoretically be home from the workshop. And let's just record the podcast.
Would we have a podcast set up here, like, you know, at our home? And everything is complicated because then there needs to be duplicates of everything.
Yeah.
And then where's the files? And can you access the files? And do you eat at work? Most likely lunch at least.
But then, like, it's
do you need a whole
cook.
Kitchen?
Yeah.
Do you need a whole kitchen? And then where do you store your leftovers?
And then how expensive is this workshop getting? Also,
the leftovers at home or
at work?
Work.
Also, super important thing.
Supervisor.
Supervisor. Joob needs to be with us to make sure we're on task.
Yeah.
At all hours of the day.
And she gets very sad when we're
She gets
away.
Really sad if we're away. Yeah, super
and
sad.
She needs to kind of be at least somewhat near. She's around the corner right now, sleeping right there.
Yeah, listening to us. She likes hearing our voices and
knowing
where we are.
And if we are in another room, she usually kind of follows us.
Mm-hmm.
just so that she can like hear our voices.
Yeah.
And that'd be so sad if we were working away from her.
I know. And if we're gone from the house, even like just for a walk, when we come back, she's at the door waiting, meowing like, hey, where'd you guys go?
Yeah.
I missed you.
I know it's a very, very lucky position to be able to do something like this. But like, I don't know. It's just.
We've also been spoiled for the past 4 years. We've been
completely spoiled. And it's just crazy to think about. But yeah, thinking also about like when we bought this house, it's interesting because this house was a lot more than what we needed.
It was more than what we needed. I mean, two people don't need a full house most of the time.
Most of the time they don't. Yeah.
Yeah. So it was more space than we needed. And we had like, we had a whole room that was just a guest room and nothing else.
And a whole room that was like a junk room, wedding room, organizing room.
Yeah. It went from like the wedding room to the junk room to like, you put a desk in here for a little bit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I put my first 3D printer when I was just like,
yes.
I was like, I'm going to get this 3D printer and I'm going to turn it into something. I'm going to do something with it. And that kind of helped start us down this path.
Yeah, that also did. But yeah, like, I guess we're so lucky that we did have some space to grow into, even though we've now grown out of it. It did buy us some time. That way we weren't trying to start the business and look for a new house without really knowing what we needed.
Yeah.
Imagine if we hadn't had enough room in this house to do the business and we started looking at the same time, we wouldn't have known what we needed.
And when we're looking at, you know, our next house, we're also doing that for the next house. Like, we want, you know, maybe double the workshop space, which means probably just a bigger garage, and we want a lot more house space too, you know?
But we're also looking at, like, places with full workshops.
Yeah.
Also. Yeah. But it's also kind of hard because it's like, you have to give something up to get something else.
Yeah.
Like, always. And so, for the workshop, for example, if we're going to get a bigger one, does that mean we need to be farther from town? How much workshop space do we really need?
Yeah.
Like, you know, there's all sorts of mental gymnastics, but...
Yeah. We're getting a little distracted by, like, talking about this house versus thinking our thoughts around the next house, but... this house has been very interesting because I also think that like, I'm so glad we did this because it would have been very hard for us to start this business in the apartment.
Yeah. I mean, we wouldn't have had a garage.
Yeah.
We had a few tools that we would do like on our balcony.
We could have done some things.
Not much.
In our apartment. Not much.
Even though our first few videos were smaller projects. Well, one of our very first videos was like turning our garage into a workshop because it was just a garage, remember?
Yeah.
That was in that first set of videos that we filmed.
Fixing drywall? You can't fix your own drywall at an apartment.
Oh, yeah. No, it wouldn't have been a video. None of the like house-related stuff we could have done in the apartment, but also just like storing the tools.
Yeah.
Even if we just had a few, even if I'm just thinking about the stuff we used in those early projects, it would have been hard. And then what? Like... it would have been hard.
The great room of our apartment would have just become a big workshop.
Yeah. It kind of was starting that way. We had a toolbox behind the couch.
Yep.
You know, had a few tools in there.
Had those
with
ugly,
a little workbench on the desk.
Ugly man couches. Deck. Ugly man couches.
Yeah, they hid the toolboxes though.
Yeah.
Because they're so tall.
I had some bachelor couches.
They were such bachelor couches.
They were such bachelor couches.
They were like big brown faux pleather.
And they were huge. They were built for someone that was 6'5".
Yes, they
like,
were.
When I sat down, the headrest was right here.
Yeah, and when I sat down and I leaned against the headrest, guess what it did to my head? It pushed it forward because my head was below the headrest, so this big cushion would just push my head forward. So then I'd have to, like, scrunch downwards and get below it so that I could lean my head back, and so I'd be like this.
Yeah. It was like back in the days, back in the 6 months when we could, like, binge-watch TV, would, like, watch shows on that couch, and Caitlin would have the worst posture.
Yeah.
Oh,
if you're watching the podcast now instead of just listening, you're
this is pretty accurate. Yeah,
this is about what we would do.
But guys, every single seat in that couch was a recliner.
Yeah, it was so ugly.
Cool is that?
So ugly.
Oh, we had a drive-by blessing.
Oh, hello.
She did a walk-by.
Jubei.
So now let's do a little look at our current house. What are the good and bad things about this house? And I know that like it's weird to like criticize this great house that we live in that's given us so much, but like, you know, I don't know. I think it's an interesting exercise. And I think one thing that we've already mentioned is it's too small now.
I think that's the main thing, honestly, is it's just too small. I also do think that, you know, because it is an older house, there are maintenance things, and we have a hard time keeping up with that, just because our, you know, work hours are more demanding now than they used to be. I used to have this amazing spreadsheet. It was my home maintenance spreadsheet, and it had, like how frequently you're supposed to do this, how frequently you're supposed to do this and this and that. And, like, we just... Oh, hi. She's back. We really struggle with that. And so I think this being an older house just doesn't work as well with our current like workload.
I think that I'm realizing too that I wish that the two non-master bedrooms were a little bit bigger.
That's true, because we spend 90% of our time in this one
extra bedroom. I think that's the thing. As soon as I started thinking about moving to a new house, that's the thing that one of the biggest things that started bothering me is how tiny this room is. Is it 12 by 12?
Yeah, something 12 by 12, 11 by 11. I think that
honestly probably is a fine bedroom size. But when you have two people working in it all the time, two big desks, and you can't have this window right here is like a single, like 4 by 2 window. That is always closed because we don't want during the daylight it to disrupt our stream. So we are in a 12 by 12 closed box with two mega desks.
No natural light. For the
majority
light.
Of our life.
And just there's so much technology. Like these desks aren't normal desks. They are like spiders. There are arms coming off of them. And like poles. They're and creatures. Tons of monitors, creatures. Tons of lights that go up to the ceiling. And then the ceiling also is coming down on us because we have sound dampening stuff.
Yeah.
You know, there's like stuff hooked up in the corners, cameras, the green screen, and the big frame we built around that. So there's like a lot in this room and not very much room for us to move around and no natural light. And I think, like you said, I think that was one of the things, even more than the workshop, that we were like, oh. Yeah. I really want a little bit more office space in the room where we spend so much time.
Yeah. In the past 4 years, we've spent more awake time in here than doing anything else.
At all. Ever. Yeah.
It's sleep is number one. Being in this room is number two. Being in the workshop is number three.
Yeah.
So I think that's the biggest thing about this house that really gets to me to a certain degree.
Yeah. On a somewhat related note, I do wish that this house had more/bigger closets, storage. That's a thing that like I would have loved to do more built-in storage if we knew we were going to be here for even longer.
Well, it's tough though because we already put the built-in storage because either of the bedrooms is already pretty full, and we do like you know if you do a built-in.
I think there's a lot of room actually in our living room for built-in storage.
Oh.
Like that whole wall where we have like
the art.
Media center and stuff, you could use that more efficiently and do some built-in closed storage and still keep some room for art. So I think that's one option. I also think it would
have been really cool to like do like a IKEA hack built-in, like you know where you cut the trim, you slide the cabinets all the way against the wall, and then you build it in,
trim
it in.
Kind of like our Murphy beds, although like the shelves that we built or that we bought to do the Murphy bed built-ins ended up not being the like size that we thought, and so there's some wasted space there. But also I could have seen us getting like closet systems, you know, like container store closet systems. They're so good to like maximize closet storage. Or like you know the room where we have the treadmills. Treadmill desks. I think we could have done some built-in storage in there.
Yeah, but if someone uses that for a breakfast nook in the future, then we would have had to tear those out.
No. Because you can do like a window seat, like a built-in window seat with storage underneath. You know, and then you can either have the table if someone turns into a breakfast nook instead of a treadmill room. you can like scooch the table up to that, and that can be your seating.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
That was the thing that I wanted to do for a bit.
Yeah,
and then we just didn't. But I think, like, that would be cool. In terms of like good things about this house,
I like the vibe of the main room.
I love the vibe of the main room. Like,
I love just being in there.
Me too. And part of that is the stuff we did to it. Part of it is just like,
it's a big, tall ceiling.
Big tall ceiling.
And it has the most natural light.
Yeah. And it's just like,
those are the two probably big things.
Yeah. I don't know. It's got vibes.
It's got vibes.
Yeah. It's got some good vibes. You know, and like, all in all, aside from the two bedrooms being a little small, like, I feel like everything was a good size and there's not much wasted space. Like, no. Our breakfast nook / treadmill room is a little weird.
Yeah.
But, you know, some rooms or some houses have, like, a formal, I guess our house technically has a formal dining, but we only have one eating area. Mm-hmm. But it's, like, the formal dining and the formal living and the formal library and the formal this. And there's, or just, like, a random game room.
Or, you know, it's so
weird. At
the top
of the stairs.
There have been a decent number of houses that we've looked at that, like, have had a room in between.
In between two other rooms. Well, I think it's, like, if you have kids and you want them to have, like, a shared playroom or something, I think maybe that's it. But you have to go through one room to then get to two other rooms.
Yeah.
I think that's what they're for.
It's interesting. Yeah. There's so many of them, though, where, like, You go from the living room to this other room, and then there's bedrooms off of the room instead of a hallway.
Yeah.
Is that just weird because we're weird, or is that normal? I don't know.
I mean, we've seen a couple houses.
Yeah.
But I think it did make me, like, some of the inefficient use of spaces of houses that we've seen made me appreciate that our house is efficient.
It is efficient.
You know.
It is.
But maybe with the, like, breakfast nook room that we're using as a treadmill room is.
Ooh, you know what I wish? Was better about our house when it was being constructed. I wish that, like, the people installing electrical and the ducting and stuff like that had have, like, been a little bit more, like, careful with, like, you know, strapping everything up or tying everything down, or, you know, like, just taking a little bit more time to, like, install things in a way that is more accessible or more serviceable and stuff
That's true. Yeah.
But I mean like, those are all tiny little picky things that we're, like, now looking. But, like, you know, everything that's not fully ideal about this house, those have been great learning lessons for when we're looking at the next house, you know?
And honestly, like we said, the biggest things are just, like, it's too small for us now. Mm-hmm. And it's an older house.
Yeah.
The house can't help how old it is.
No, it really can't.
Honestly, when we bought it, I thought we were going to have to put way more money just into fixing random stuff that would inevitably break. And it's actually, like,
Done well by us.
It's done pretty dang good.
Yeah. Yeah. So, thank you, house.
Thanks, house. Yeah.
Well, I think that might be a good place to wrap it. Do you have any more thoughts about our current house?
No, but I do have a thing of the week to share.
Oh. Just a second.
So smooth. No one noticed.
No one noticed the technical difficulties.
I was wondering why you, like, put down the volume. I don't know.
I'm just being a silly boy.
You're silly. Okay, so my thing of the week, we just consumed tonight with dinner.
It's so good.
It's hot honey. Yeah. The specific brand is Mike's Hot Honey. It was a present from my parents over Christmas because I like food-related gifts. We had it on cornbread. We had chili and cornbread, and we did the hot honey and some butter on the cornbread. It is so freaking good. Like, I don't know. It's like not something I would have thought to buy for myself, like a spicy honey, but it's so good.
Well,
and I think
it'd
also be good on, like,
toaster.
Or I was going to say on, like, fried chicken sandwiches.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
I think it's good to have honey and hot honey.
Oh, you need both. I don't want to put hot honey in my tea.
Yeah. It's an additional thing that's
super tasty.
It's
good, I think, for, like,
super tasty,
kind of savory things where you want a little spice and a little sweet. I feel like there's, like, I'm still kind of new to the hot honey. But I feel like there's a lot of things that would be really good on.
And I think that honey in general lasts a pretty long time.
It lasts a long time.
Yeah. And, you know, especially certain honeys don't crystallize, but, like, you know, you get the honey and you use it here and there as a nice, like, little bam, pow, pow.
We mostly use it on cornbread. When we have chili and cornbread, nice.
Delicious.
Yeah.
My thing of the week is actually a YouTube channel, Tyler Bell. They have been a Patreon of us since February of 2018.
It's a long time.
And, you know,
and we've met Tyler.
Yeah. And it's been, but it's been really cool to see Tyler stick with, you know, his channel. He started it 2 years ago and he has made, you know, he has like continued to make videos, and it's really been interesting to see his style evolve. And now he's doing some really awesome things. Like his most recent one is he welded up steel cubes in thicker and thicker walls to see if he can stop ice from expanding when it's submerged in liquid nitrogen. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's cool.
It's very Mythbusters-y. You know,
and he's admitted that he's taken a lot of inspiration from Mythbusters. He even, like, you know, 3 months ago built a blast shield similar to that the one they use in Mythbusters. So he's like kind of going after a little bit of that, a little bit of the maker, you know, side of things. But it's cool to see a channel like his grow.
And, yeah, Tyler Bell, check out his channel.
Yeah, it'll be linked in the description
along with my hot honey.
But I think before we do the outro, I wanted to shout out all of the amazing reviews that have been coming in. You guys have been really getting into the prank. The prank is a prank in which we trick people who don't know us to listen to the podcast and be confused. But I just want to read some choice reviews.
Yes.
From Flash the Small Sloth. This podcast is life-changing. Honestly, my cat loves listening to this while he's climbing on the ceiling. It is very pog. From Cat. Another one.
I want to do that top one.
This one right there? Okay.
Another one. It doesn't say who it's from. It just...
And it's just numbers.
It's just numbers. I was trying to decide which type of milled cornflour to use for my cousin's cornflour sponge cake recipe, and this podcast answered all of my questions. Would 100% recommend. Thank you. So glad we could answer those questions for you.
Five stars. Thank you. Yeah, and you know, I hope we answered all of your questions today, no matter what they were.
Yeah.
Whatever they were, I hope.
If you feel so compelled to leave us a review, maybe we'll end up reading it in a future podcast. Because, like, I don't know why we didn't get to read them before.
You guys are
so funny. We always read them and chuckle.
Yeah. All right. Thank you so much for listening. I need to play the outro music.
There you go. Nope, there it is. Just don't push that down anymore. Just leave it up.
All right, guys. Hope you're having a great day. Thanks so much for tuning in. And we will look forward to seeing you in the next thing. Bye.
Bye.